let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging out with you guys on this Overreaction Monday, the Monday after the first Sunday slate in week one in the NFL. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's wild and wacky Sunday night football game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Bills, the victors, winning it 41-40. And I'll say this, I spent a lot of time, pretty much damn near all the time, talking about the Baltimore Ravens in the last segment. Did want to mention this about Buffalo. I mean, that's some big time resilience that they showed in the game. Now, it doesn't come without concern, but for Josh Allen, an incredible performance, 33 of 46, 394 through the air, 30 additional yards on the ground, 4 total touchdowns. Like, you want to put on the Superman cape and talk about that, put the team on my back? That's what Josh Allen did last night, because in some of those drives, it's like, oh, he's trying to target, checks notes, Ty Johnson. Like not like he's surrounded with the Monstars or anything like that. Josh Allen was wonderful in the game. I will say this, though, about Buffalo. The defense, and I even texted the guys this last night of watching the games, you got to be concerned with what's going on in the front seven. Like, they look small. They look like they can get pushed around. This week, they're playing this New York Jets team, where if you watch that Jets-Steelers game, which we're going to talk about here shortly, Jets can run the football. Like, you know, like just saying, like, I don't think Buffalo's going to lose the game, but Jets can run the ball now. And if they're not playing those run fits well and they're getting pushed around, maybe that game's a little bit more interesting, because the Buffalo Bills, their run defense is brutal. And they'll need to fix that if they want to fulfill these Super Bowl aspirations in 2025. But we'll get into much more of that all throughout the week. And we'll get into some of these awesome games that we saw yesterday as well, as we bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who joins us each and every weekday here at 3:20 Eastern time. Bill, how was your NFL Sunday viewing experience yesterday, buddy? We're all the way back now, and it felt so damn good.
Like I told the crew, Femi, this is the first Monday of 21 of these glorious Mondays in a row reacting to NFL football. My viewing experience Sunday was awesome, had a lot of fun, won a couple bets, lost a couple bets, but I did win a bet on Sunday Night Football because I had Buffalo in the Super Bowl this year, decided to put my money where my mouth is. It looked bad.
Yeah.
It looked bad, but went oppo against Mr. Kostos and yourself and came out on top.
It was a nice bet. I thought about it because I texted you guys before the game started, and I was like, I kind of want to bet the over because I want to like just root for insanity. I didn't bet it because I just, my day was decided by the Rams-Texans game. Didn't go in my favor. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the game. It's a good enough game. I don't need to be like a junkie and have action on it. I'll just watch the game like a traditional fan and I'll be entertained. And I was entertained, but part of me was like, damn it, should have bet that over because that bad boy landed on 81 after closing at 51.5. But we'll get more into that game all throughout the show. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, you spent the first segment talking about Sunday Night Football and why not. The game was awesome, arguably going to be the game of the year when we look back in January. But we have plenty of other big-time games to talk about. So let's start with the Packers and Lions. Green Bay wins this one 27-13. It wasn't even that close. It was 27-6 until the final minute of the game. Lions offense really could do nothing all day. Packers jumped out early, didn't look back, and for their new star, Micah Parsons, everything is coming up, Micah.
I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans, just everything overall. Just it was just a one-on-one experience for me. And, you know, I told J-Lo that's our first win, and I can't wait to keep stacking. We got a long way to go.
There you go, Femi. Packers looking good, but I think more so Lions look like they might have some issues.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers made me look good, you know? I've been pounding this drum for the Packers all offseason saying, hey, this team is going to win the North. This team's going to win the NFC. I have the Packers in the Super Bowl. That was all said prior to them trading for Micah Parsons. And now that they have Micah Parsons, yeah, I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to say it even louder. Green Bay was awesome yesterday. And I know like this division's so wide open, the NFC North. We're going to see two more of those teams tonight between Minnesota and Chicago. Like, you can make a case for all four to win the division. But like the Packers, now that they have a blue chip player at a premium position, like think about this. Micah Parsons played 45% of the snaps. he was not out there like his usual, like 80% of the snaps or so. But even in a more diminished role, and as he's still working his way into game shape, you felt his presence every time he was on the field. Best believe Jared Goff felt Micah Parsons' presence anytime he dropped back and passed. Like, Parsons was unbelievable. And, like, the fan base is fired up. That crowd was absolutely insane. You felt it was a playoff game, the way the crowd was yelling and screaming with the defense on the field. And especially when Micah Parsons made the sack on Jared Goff, when he hunted him down like a lion hunting down a gazelle. Like, it was an insane atmosphere. And there's so much juice around this team. If they can hold serve at home and win these kinds of games, based on how the schedule sets up, Green Bay is going to be in a very, very advantageous spot in about 2 months or so. So Packers stock, that's all the way up. And oh, by the way, Jordan Love, a guy that I liked as kind of like a dark horse MVP, he was pretty damn good in the game as well. And also, by the way, he doesn't even have his full complement of weapons. Christian Watson's going to come back around Halloween. That's another field stretcher to add to this offense with Jaden Reed. And we didn't even really see Matthew Golden in the game yesterday. Like, the Packers have so much upside. I think Green Bay is going to be a force in the NFC. As for their counterparts from yesterday, I'm not going to hit the panic button. I'm not hitting the panic button on Detroit because I said this all offseason. I said, guys, this is going to be an adjustment period on the Detroit Lions. Guess what? Week one didn't look good. The Lions are still figuring things out. I think the Lions that you see in November and December will be much, much better than what you see in September and in October. Like, let's play this thing out. I trust in Dan Campbell. I trust in Brad Holmes, the general manager. The infrastructure is really strong in Detroit, and the talent is still very, very strong in Detroit. They'll work through these issues. But right now, yeah, are they vulnerable? Probably a little bit. You probably want to play them now versus in like December. That's for dang sure. But I think the Lions will be fine. I still have them as a playoff team. Goff looked atrocious, but hey, every now and then you get that kind of a Jared Goff game. I mean, it's not a great sign, but like, it's week one. Let's relax. I think this was more about Green Bay than it was about the Detroit Lions and them kind of regressing all the way out of the playoffs. No, I'm not there. Detroit will still be one of the final seven, but Green Bay, we're going to the moon, baby. Bill, hit me with the next game.
All right, Femi, just like everyone expected, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the New York Jets in a shootout. 34-32, Chris Boswell puts the Steelers in front for good with 103 to go with a 60-yard field goal. Justin Fields was awesome but couldn't do anything on the final drive. Aaron Rodgers throws four touchdowns, and if you listen to him after the game, certainly sounds like he might have had a little extra motivation in this one. So Aaron Rodgers said that he would be thrilled to beat anyone associated with the New York Jets. I mean, this game was a fun one from start to finish.
I was going to say the Rodgers silence was deafening there for a second. I was like, damn, Rodgers was real profound, huh? But Rodgers, I mean, he had like the smirk on his face, and you could see clearly this game meant a lot to him going up against the New York Jets and how things ended over these last couple of years. But I'll say this to Aaron Rodgers before we get to how he actually played. Like, bro, the New York Jets did everything you wanted, man. Like, I don't understand why you're so damn salty towards the New York Jets. Like, yes, the way things ended with Aaron and Glenn, they didn't want you back. They told you see you later. I'm sure that was a very humbling experience. But outside of that, they let you hire your buddy Nathaniel Hackett. They let you bring in your dog Alan Lazard. How about your A1 Randall Cobb? Like, the Jets damn near I'm surprised they didn't call David Bakhtiari. Like, the Jets brought all of your friends, and the Jets did whatever. They even last year, in a panic move, called up your old buddy, Devontae Adams, and traded for him. Like, how could you be mad about the Jets? They did whatever you wanted. All of that stuff aside, though, Rodgers looked pretty good in the game. Like, I will have to admit, Rodgers looked good. Now, this whole offseason, I felt that Rodgers would be an upgrade over what they had last year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. In one game, seems to be the case, right? Four touchdown passes, most that we've seen a Steeler throw since Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's podcast is going on like year four at this point. It's been that long. Like, I thought Rodgers was really, really good. I thought the Jets...
Femi having a little bit of some internet issues here, talking about that Jets-Steelers game. Femi is back, so Flores, yours.
Of course, when I misspoke and said that Rodgers was on the Jets, the internet just said, you know what, you're done. We're cutting you off here, literally. But no, I thought the Steelers were really good on offense. Now, for the New York Jets, I thought they were good on offense too, which surprised the hell out of me. I did not expect this. I'll put my hand up. This was my worst bet of the week. I bet under 38.5. And honestly, I felt the best about this game going under than any other bet, side total or prop all of week one. I thought this was going to be a low-scoring game. But got to give kudos to both offenses. The Jets with Justin Fields, one of his better games. Like, his EPA per play was incredibly high. I thought the Jets' run game was awesome. The offensive line didn't look like they missed a beat without Elijah Vera Tucker. I will say this, though, about both of these teams. There has to be concern about their defenses. Like, the both teams, the handicap was Steelers' defense going to be really good. Jets' defense was going to be really good. Both defenses stunk out loud. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just week one wackiness. But just kind of keep that one in mind going forward. Steelers and Jets defenses down. Steelers and Jets offenses, surprisingly, up just after 1 week. Bill, hit me with the next game.
Femi, the Washington Commanders easily handled the New York Giants 21-6 yesterday. Story in this one, Giants offense, completely anemic. Russell Wilson was dreadful, 17 of 37 for 168 yards. After the game, head coach Brian Daboll wouldn't even commit to Russ as his starter in week two, but 24 hours later, he had made his decision.
We're going to get home, Pat. We're going to look at our game. Collectively, we all got to do better.
Is it safe to say that Russell is still your starter?
Yes. I mean, we're just right here after the game. I got confidence. We got to do better around overall. Coaches, players, around everybody. So, you know, we'll get focused and ready to go on.
Do you intend to start Russell Wilson this week?
Yes. Yep. In terms of making any of those decisions, really to any position or schematic changes, I'd like to, you know, do it with a clear head and watch the tape and, again, like I said yesterday, that game just doesn't fall on Russell Wilson.
So there you go, Femi. Russ is still under center, but for how long?
I mean, he can say whatever he wants to say and do whatever he wants to do. I just think we're delaying the inevitable. Russell Wilson is not the answer for Brian Daboll. And what's the question? The question is, can you save your job? Like, that's the question. And Russell Wilson is definitely not the answer. I don't know how many years we need to see this with Russell Wilson back there behind an offensive line that is a makeshift offensive line. Now, maybe with Andrew Thomas in the lineup, maybe it looks a little bit better. And maybe Russell Wilson will have a little bit more time to be productive. But like Russ, he's been burping the baby for like 3 years now. Like, that guy is dying to take sacks. And this is what we know about the Giants. Defensively, I think they're going to be pretty good. Offensively, it stinks out loud. So I thought it was a really, really poor performance. I'm more angry at myself, though, for not betting the Commanders, because by the time we got to the end of last week, I was telling Nick, I was telling Bill, and we even said it on the show as well, it just felt like the Giants were that dead dog walking. And it was very similar last year. We had the situation between Carolina and New Orleans where everyone was betting Carolina. Oh, road divisional underdog. They cover at this crazy rate. Look at the trends. Everyone was betting that with the Giants. Oh, road divisional dog. Commanders are supposed to regress. The Commanders kicked their ass, man. And the Washington didn't even play that well either. And they won by 15 points. Like, it just did not make sense. I don't know why I didn't bet the game. I was too busy being a chicken, and I passed the game. But for me, in totality, Brian Daboll, get on with it, play Jackson Dart, and try to tap into that upside. Otherwise, you will be on the unemployment line sooner rather than later. Bill, hit me with the next game.
Femi, your Las Vegas Raiders beat the New England Patriots 20-13.
Oh, yeah,
Geno Smith throws for 362 yards. Ashton Gentry just 38 on the ground, but he does score a touchdown in his NFL debut. Pete Carroll becomes the oldest coach in NFL history on Sunday, and he earns himself a victory in his Raiders debut.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the culture being built? Can you feel the silver and black getting to their winning ways? Geno Smith told us. He said he came to Vegas to run the table. Well, Geno, in 1 week, bang, we're off to a good start. I was so locked in on this game because that was one of the few things I got right. Raiders plus the points, Raiders money line. Also bet the over in the game. That didn't work out. But like in terms of the side, the Raiders made me some money, and I absolutely love it. This team has the potential. You already see the Geno to Brock Bowers connection. It's PB&J. And thankfully, Brock Bowers, this knee injury that he suffered towards the end of yesterday's game, sounds like it was just precautionary keeping him out. He seems to be all good. He's fine. Great. We'll need that going forward. But like this is why I'm high on the Raiders, because there's no way in hell they can win that game with Gardner Minshew. There's no way in hell they can win that game with Aiden O'Connell. And based on what we saw this weekend, I think it's pretty safe to say that Geno Smith is the third best quarterback in the AFC West. I love the Raiders. I love Geno. I love this team to be the surprise team in the NFL this season. I feel like a broken record saying it, but I just want to say, just for those who might doubt or think that we're wavering, we ain't wavering. Silver and black is the way to go. And I love it. That we're off to a good start. 1-0, baby. Let's go 1-0 next week in week two. On the other side, we'll do NFL quick hits, best of the rest from throughout the weekend here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.